what is his name? Frank?
Frank Turek.
Turek.
T-U-R-E-K.
T-U-R-E-K. And he was related to the Kufas. And he's in St. Albert.
St. Albert.
You know his address?
Pardon?
You know his address in memory? I know it's Belmont Drive.
I can't remember it, but I can phone it into you, his address.
Yeah, well, he's probably in the St. Albert phone book. We're in St. Albert quite a bit.
Yes, and he's got the photography shop. He's the photographer. At least that's what he was doing when he was talking to me, and he says he's so busy with that he has no time to work on his other.
Will you write him or phone him or something and tell him what we are doing here, and tell him that I will be in to see him sometime when it's convenient?
All right.
Because, or invite him up here to see the work that we're that we're doing here. That would be really good, you know. No, in the meantime, we were talking about the Mills family, and you said there were three brothers, Leo, James, yeah. Robert, and
George.
And Robert was your father-in-law.
Yep.
And you said that Robert, no, which one built the McKinley house?
Jim.
Jim built the McKinley house. And what did they do here?
They worked carpenter work that summer of 1912.
All the three Minses?
No, George was a government road inspector and all working for the government. When he came in, he'd have a master. Well, I don't know what year George came in, but when he was in here working for the government, we knew him about 1911, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they moved up from Westlock.
Mm-hmm.
They all had homesteads there except Bob. Then they invited their brother Bob to come up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Bob had, was down at Lang, Saskatchewan that summer. Then he came up here in the spring, and he worked all year on the hotel, and, well, not so much on the hotel, some parts there, but the Crystal House, the Crystal Lodge, you remember? He built that. That was a big rooming house that Russell's house is now.
Now, let me interrupt for a minute, because I was listening to another tape the other day where somebody said that that Crystal Lodge was operated by the Secord family.
Yep. Afterwards.
Which Secord?
Old Jack Secord's wife.
Oh, yeah.
Remember her? She was Ukrainian, I think.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah. Now, she was belonged to some people named of Pomeroy before that, and in the end of the thing was that it went broke and they tore it down. Percy and Bert Taylor tore it down. We had part of the lumber in our old house up there.
Is that right?
Yeah. That and some off the Star Theater. Larry, you were talking to me about the Star Theater once. Mm-hmm. Larry remembers that good.
Does
it
he?
Wasn't the Starland, it was the Star.
The Star.
And in front was a big red star.
Mm-hmm. And that theater was about on the site of Shaw's store, old store.
Right in there, yes.
Mm-hmm.
About where McDonald's is now.
Well, now later on there was Dadio. You'd remember that.
Yeah, that was up. Dan Jones built for the way to a chicken store.
That's right.
In that block there.
And it burned down.
Yeah.
Because it would burn down in the middle of the winter.
Yeah.
And I remember my father taking me down the next day to see the ruins. Mm-hmm. And of course everything was just coated with ice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The theater itself was a complete, complete wreck.
Sure.
And that video was started by Day.
By Jones. Davy Jones and Forrest Day.
Forrest Day.
Yep.
That was where it got its name from.
Yeah, that's right.
Dan Jones.
Yeah.
Well, now I want to ask you about Oran Mills. O-R-R-A-N.
Never heard of him.
And I'll tell you why I am asking, because a couple of nights ago we got the old minutes of the United Church, and James Mills and Oran Mills were both on the original United Church board in 1912.
Well, I must have been one of Captain Mills' sons, or in relation to that family. There was old Cap Mills here, from the Captain on the Riverboat.
Well, Captain Mills was John, wasn't he?
I don't know. I never heard of him.
Didn't they call him Jim?
Could have been.
Seems to me as
but there was no relatives in our family that was ever honored.
We'll come across him some other
time.
Bob Mills' children were small. Fred was the oldest. He went to school here. My wife was the second. She was a little girl when she started school here. I used to know the name of the teacher. She started with my school is right there by the old town hall.
It was the old town hall.
Yeah.
That was where the post office is now.
Now, the George Mills never had any children except the adopted one, Grace. Jim Mills had three children, two girls, and then a boy who was very young when he got killed overseas. His dad got killed in 1918, in the First War, just as the day before our mistress was done. Yeah, and his wife lived in Edmonton, the widow, with the three little children. She was lonely, all the kids were small. So, in Banff, Saskatchewan, where my father-in-law and family settled, small town, no high school. So, his sister-in-law asked him to send the oldest one off, which is Buffett, to complete, she'd come through her grade 8, you see, but they couldn't take 9 there. So to finish up her education in Edmonton, to stay with her, which she did till she got her certificate. Then, since she had it, she wanted a school, it was hard to get. But George had influence with the board, great friend of Dick Curtis, and he said he came to my wife and mother, who were close friends, with my wife, I mean my mother and dad. He said, if you will board my niece, I'll get her to school. So my mother was talked into it and fixed up a room, and that's how I got to know her.
Well, I noticed this contract is signed by the chairman of the board is
Olson.
Magnus. That'd be Magnus.
Magnus, yeah. Sure.
Another thing, where at that time in Alberta would your wife take teacher training?
Cameron's.
Had a temporary normal there.
They had a temporary normal in Edmonton at that time.
Oh, she went to Edmonton, did she, before they started the Cameron's?
Next, you know, she had what they call a partial certificate.
Oh, yes.
You came out, you taught a term, and you paid like a summer school deal, and then you went back again and taught until you got your permanent.
That's
right. And she, instead of going to summer school, she got married.
What
happened to that?
And that was the same system they had in the last war.
That's right.
A lot of them went for a 3-month crash course, and then they went out to teach.
Helen Hyde was one of those.
Right. And then you had to go back so many summer schools until you got your complete certificate.
I guess they're still doing that.
No.
You have to have 4 years.
You have to.
Now, before you can even start.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Not 3 months.
Yeah. Now, one more thing. maybe one of you remembers. Todd Richards tells me, and we have a picture of it here too. Todd Richards tells me about a big three-story building on Main Street. He said it was covered with metal, and that it was a French club. The upper story was a French club.
Oh.
Do you remember anything about that?
I don't.
I think I can find that thing in this book. You don't remember that?
No.
And just to get the record straight, there were two Grand Union hotels.
Which?
Two Grand Union hotels. One was wooden.
Oh.
It must have burned in the fire, but I'm not sure. You see, here's a picture. There's a picture. I think the upper left. That's the Grand Union Hotel.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's Joe McLeod's door next.
Well, that is the same place. Didn't they just do a brick veneer on that old hotel?
No, it burnt down.
Oh, it burnt down. Did it? It burnt with the fire, did it?
Yeah.
I thought the fire stopped at that corner.
That's the old yellow building. The old yellow building. The balustrade all the way around the front and the side, exactly. On the third story.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when it burnt down, old Ike Gagne, then he built the brick one. This isn't brick veneer, this is solid brick.
This is solid brick.
The Athabasca Hotel.
On the next corner.
On the next, down there where the garage is now.
Right.
You know, Hogan's business. Now that was the Athabasca, but it was brick veneer. Because it was torn down when it went broke. And some of the bricks are out in that old Spence house. They took them and they brick veneered the house up with it.
Yes, they were.
That one of Bill Spence's.
Yeah, well, yes, the old man, really, yeah. Mm-hmm. The old father of them all. Yeah.
Well, now, to get back to that Mills family, what was their origin? Did they come from Eastern Canada originally?
Yeah, Ontario. Lambton County, Ontario.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you've possibly heard of Percy Andrews.
No.
Oh, he was up here quite a bit. That was Mrs. George Mills' brother. He was quite a famous character around Westlock. Larry didn't know him well.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was talking to me about it. Yeah. See, Dan didn't come up here until 1916.
Now, Dents came here to
Saw lumber. For the Scottish company. But I don't know. Things didn't go so well. They lost a bunch of money on a contract. The government didn't pay them. So I don't know what happened. And so, he went on his own then, smaller. And he got a big timber berth up north, above Longview. Then he got working for Weston Spruce Mill later. Well, that was in the 20s. And they were cooking books. So they set fire to the timber because they'd been doing some sloppy logging.
Mm-hmm.
And the inspector was going to close them down unless they top locked it all, you know, and new regulations came in. They decided the best way to do that was to do it with even a match and burn the whole berth off. So they killed millions of feet of timber. They couldn't prove nothing afterwards. But they burnt Dent Mill down. Never got a cent out of that. I just about finished it.
Mm-hmm.
So then he grabbed up the pieces that he could fix. He saved the planer and he saved the boiler. Moved it over here where Charlie Bissell is now later on.
Oh, yeah.
And he run there.
Just below where Tawatna Creek goes into the river.
I remember Bissell's mill.
So it was hard times in those days, and I was supplying pork for the back to Spruce Mills, you see. And that was the Sawyer, they take the contracts on.
Mm-hmm.
But this man, Bossy, you might have heard of him.
I was going to ask you about Bossy.
Yeah, the real crook. He was the bookkeeper for Halbert and Smith.
Who were they?
They were the owners of Western Spruce Mills Company.
Oh, yes.
Now, when the thing blew up, I went to Bossy to collect my money. There would be $150 for pork. He said, no, you, we don't owe that. Dent owes you that. And Dent said, no. I sold it to Bossy. I here delivered it to him. What are you going to do fighting a big company? And that was $150 in those days. It's quite a loss. And Dent was mad. So after he started up here, a whole bunch of logs got away. Several booms got away on a broke up there. And Dent, being a good man on catching logs, him and these boys went out and they caught all these logs. He put a boom down there by the small corral in there, but salvage. So they come up and made some kind of a deal, and Dent was supposed to solve them, which he did. Dent said to me one day, he wanted $150. I said, yeah, I sure would like it. Well, he said, come and get it. He said, is there lumber? He said, what the hell with them? Play the damn bets. So I collected $150 of the lumber, and it cost quite a little lumber.
It was a lot of lumber, probably $15 a thousand or something like that. Well, you'd remember the Bossies, wouldn't you, Kathy?
No, I don't. I remember hearing of them, but I don't remember.
The thing that I remember about the Bossies, they were always extremely well-dressed. I just remember the girls. I think there were girls. And the oldest girl had a horse, and the youngest girl had a Shetland pony. And they were kind of glamorous characters to us, you know, when they were growing up. And it seemed to me that they lived up in that house that Bill Dent lived in later. No, but I'm not sure about that.
No, that was an old facility built for a store, and it never developed into one.
I mean, it was built up there for a store.
And it was a flat roof.
Oh, yes.
And so Bill bought it cheap, two lots, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had the mill running then,
mm-hmm.
and that's when he's working for the Scottish outfit. And he went to work, and his father-in-law, Mahood, old man Mahood, he was a carpenter, ship's carpenter.
Well, I certainly didn't know that Mahood and Dent were related.
So, anyway, that's another story of old man Mahood's family, but I remember they used 26-foot timber sixes for the rafters for that house, because we parked out there the other day, and Larry was going through it, but Mrs. Jake's wife wasn't home,
mm-hmm.
so we didn't get a chance to see it. But Dent lived there for years, but three stories.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they lived there until they left the country, didn't they?
Yeah, afterwards, when Bill Dent left, he sold it to the police, provincially,
mm-hmm.
and then they lived up there. They had a jail up there.
Mm-hmm.
But Dent left in 26 or no, 27.
They were here then. They were still here when I left.
Yeah.
They were here after, no, they had gone when we were married. It must have been about 29 they left.
Well, Martha taught Mahaville School at Larry's wife in 1925. When did you teach?
In Mahaville School, I was there in 28.
Oh, yeah.
Just a minute, can I interrupt for a second? Martha would be Martha Mahood?
Martha McDonald. From down around Edmonton there, but no relation to the other McDonald.
Mm-hmm.
It was Scotch. Catholic family.
Mm-hmm.
She got one sister from down with Kent still living. She's 80. She's up here this summer.
Is that true?
Looks good, but she's 80. Larry spent his birthday with us. He was 78. Mm-hmm. His son, Bill, named after his grandfather, is now, at the present time, acting Deputy Minister of Agriculture.
In the BC.
He's really the head agriculturist in the province now.
In the BC government.
No, here, right in Edmonton.
Oh, in Edmonton.
Yeah, Frank knows him good.
That's Bill Dent.
Bill Dent, that's the grandson of old Bill.
Mm-hmm.
He only had one son there, he had one daughter. Betty, she's in BC.
Mm-hmm.
But Larry's son got two children. He married a girl from BC. Well, I know Larry, I know young Bill, yeah. Big fellow like his grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
Now, talking about from the Hoods, old man Hood's buried up there. So is Larry's brother, Dennis. Yeah, Dennis.
Wasn't Dennis drowned?
Yeah, he drowned.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we were very disgusted. The graves are not marked. Larry couldn't find them. They had no record of them. But the old man Mahood's buried up there. Old man Mahood, when he was a boy, you had to apprentice when you went into a deal, you know, to the shipbuilder. So he went to my dad's great uncle in Belfast, mm-hmm. Howland and Wolfe. See, Sir Edward Howland was my dad's great uncle.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one time, yes, one time I brought you down the obituary of that family, the Pearsons, who married into the Harlands on the one side and onto the Hayes on the other. And that was my great-grandmother. And then the other one was the Harland family, you see. And the Dents, we figured it out three or four years ago, by tracing back to my family. And I got a letter from a Muriel Dent in Yorkshire, who was proven to be one of my great aunts. She's still living then. I don't know whether she had died lately, because she was quite old then. And getting pretty senile. Well, she was also a Dent, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So the Dent and the Nottingses are related.
Mm-hmm.
In the early one time.
Mm-hmm. Well, now your family came here just about that time too, didn't they?
Well, Howard's family came in on the first work train that came in when they were building the railroad.
Could you swear to the date? The year, I mean? Because I've always wondered whether that was 1912 or 1913.
It was either 1911 or 1912, but I wouldn't swear to which it was.
You've been here since 11?
No, Howard's folks were here since 11.
Oh, yeah.
They came in on the first work train that came into this town.
Yeah, it'd be 1912.
It was 1912.
Yes.
They're settlers' effects. You know, they'd get cars with settlers' effects, and they came up on that work train.
Where did they come from?
Lamont. Well, actually, they came from Parry Sound in 1892. They came in with the Parry Sounders.
Well, just a minute. Talk a little bit about that. What were the Parry Sounders? I've never heard of that.
Well, around Parry Sound in Ontario, trying to farm amongst those maple trees and oak trees and the rocks and the mineral area, and nobody could make a living. Mm-hmm. So at that time, they were... they were homesteads. They heard of this homestead land in the west, and they got a trainload of these people together, and they came west to take up homesteads.
Mm-hmm.
And they settled northeast of Edmonton,
mm-hmm.
and out in, well, more straight east, I guess, in the Partridge Hills area and south of Lamont, in that area between there and Tofield.
Mm-hmm.
And then Howard was born 3 miles south of Bruderheim.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in 1899. And then they moved from there. They had a livery barn in Lamont, and they sold out there in the fall of 1911, I think they made the deal. And Grandpa came up here, and they got, at that time they had South African scrip as well as homesteads.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
Sorry, I gotta stop you.
Yep.
Yeah, I gotta stop you. Mm-hmm. What's South African scrip?
Yeah.
Oh, from the Boer War?
From the Boer War. It was land that had been allotted to these people that returned from the Boer War, and evidently they weren't satisfied with it, or they weren't farmers, and they just threw it all up.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually belonged to nobody, I guess, but the government was controlling it, and they could take a homestead and a South African scrip that gave them a half a section of land. And so Howard's dad came up here, and he took his homestead and his South African scrip. His mother had the same. She took a homestead and South African scrip. And his one brother, Billy, and they all took. No, Billy had the homestead. He wasn't...
Top of the hill, Bill's with.
Yes. And so they moved up here, and they started a stopping place on Baptiste Creek down by the mouth of the river there. They ran a stopping place there. As long as the boats and the freighters were going north, they had a stopping place there.
Can you get down to that now?
Oh, yes. There's a good road down there. Yes,
boy, sir, I'd like to go.
And
I'll take you sometime.
Eh?
I'll take you sometime. Well, of course, I don't...
There's a big gravel pit there now where the house was.
There's no trace of that building.
Well, I know where it was, the foundation logs. I think I could still find the foundation logs for where the old stopping place was. It was right on top of the bank at the creek, just maybe a quarter of a mile from their house.
The stopping place was on top of the bank?
It was on top of the bank at the mouth of Baptiste Creek.
Well, on the flat lake.
Well, there's a real nice flat down there.
Well, it wasn't down on the flat. The water used to come up there. You know where that cabin is there now?
Well, I haven't been there for several years.
And, the water used to come quite a ways up right at the bottom of that raise, and it was just up on top of that bank. The road comes down this way and down towards the river here, and the stopping place was right there, just before where the road
turns. There was a lovely flat from there, where the houses were, going straight north, west a little, east, a long flat, and a big hill to go up.
Well, that was at the top. That wasn't where the stopping place was. The stopping place was farther down.
Yeah, the stopping place, I know it.
But that's where the old house was, yes. And that flat now is...
Grummets had the place probably in Never Hill.
And over on another hill, yes, the Grummets and Mirren's.
Yeah.
And another thing that is quite... I was just looking at those pictures over there, the old wooden railroad on the island. And Mirren's had the quarter up along the top of the river there, Sid Mirren. And his brother Joe was one of the instigators in the building of that wooden railroad down on the Grand Island.
Oh, yeah.
And they lived there for, we lived on that place afterwards. But that nice flat is gone completely now. It's just a big hole in the ground. And it's all on these roads between Smith and Edmonton.
Sure. Yeah.
They...
But I remember we used to sand that hill.
Yes.
The big one by Mirren.
Right.
The other one we used to shoot down under the ice. And I remember one very amusing incident. I was coming to town, I used to haul our grain down that way. Through Mirren's yard, you know.
Right.
Past Grummets. So, Philip Shang, the most sloppiest haywire outfit you ever saw. He never had any breeching. And
pieces of iron to twine for lines.
And he had a load of grain on ahead of me. And he had never shot his horses. So we shot the rapids, going down onto that ice. And this time was an overflow there.
Yes.
And the horses saw it, and they backed up, see. And the collars went over their head. It knocked the horses aside, and they... Load of grain went out with the harness away out in the middle of the river on this overflow. And I got down there, and old Philip walking back to the horses, they were standing on the shore. He says, that was a heck of a thing, you know. He said they hadn't even gone anywhere.
Talking about them trail because I finished that tape and so I got missed.
Well, I was telling Leo that the original trail has the stopping through Stanford up past live today, past where Bill lives today. The original was made by Chief and his tribe of Indians, the Frog Lake Man. They moved out of there and to and southwest of the lake, their camp south.
Did they ever long?
Well, where the lake got its name.
Yeah.
Well, that area, they were a long time while reaching out at the 1820s. They were all of the oldest family in that area. Remember, all in the other lake there.
Old lady who tried right about the mother, her husband, Calvert, and he went new and left East Creek and knows it was navigable.
Yes.
And there, and he found a drum about the west end. He camped there, and the first time got 50 beavers. A good place to stay. He was talking to one of the Nipsey, little son August. I know him, he's well played.
Mm-hmm.
And, he was to my place because he's here this summer. And so he was telling me that, well, if he remembers all this shack up in the hill, until he remembers all that's in there.
Was that Peace Lake there?
Yeah. But it's gone. The old Nip is still there. Old, still there.
Meadows.
Yeah.
It used to be if you saw a trailing through the bush at the west of that lake.
Well, you remember?
You would draw that trail and you'd find an Indian shack in there.
You remember the other stopping place of you, Michelle.
At Michelle's, yes.
An old man Michelle on that. One of the Nettos helped.
Mm-hmm.
Young boy. Is there anything left there or nothing?
I don't think anything left.
I tried to get in there 2 summers ago.
Mm-hmm.
Road's gone.
No, they are open with the bonus skidoos, all fenced off, everything there.
Yeah, you
know.
Get in there.
You can't get. The only way there would be on the river.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so grown and that. But yeah. Nothing there.
What would be the family name of these tribes? What Indians were they? Were they Crees?
They were Crees. Old Chief Batman moved up to Conflict later. Remember, he died not so many years ago. Just a young fellow.
What's family name? Oh,
I don't.
Would the Nipshanks have come in with that bunch?
Some of them must have.
And the Nattos?
They must have, because you...
See, there was the main families here when we came. The originals, the Brunos, the Peaches.
Mm-hmm.
Peaches were quite prominent. And the Nipshanks.
Mm-hmm.
And the Nattos. Old man Natto, we were kind of the father of the bunch.
Mm-hmm.
He was kind of an old boss.
I don't know what their last name was, but I imagine a person could find out from... Remember at the time that they had the, Confederation deal here, and they had the big thing at the campsite. Were you here then, in 67?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, I remember that now.
And, the old chief was there at that... when they put on that play.
Old Natto.
Was it Natto, the old Chief Batiste?
I don't know.
Now, I don't know whether your father ever told you about this. You must have heard the name, though. It ties in with the Peaches. But anyway, when we came here, there was a house on Frank Appleby's present farm. On the bank, though, on the north bank, you see that quarter. Right,
yes.
Across, you could see it from the old Accord place or Cullen Johnson place.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a big house. It was owned by an Englishman, a retired professor, Pellaway. Now, Pellaway was quite a renowned man here in those days. Now, he had a daughter, Lily, a very beautiful girl. Of course, I wasn't interested so much in the girl of 18 when I was only 10, 11. But I remember her. My daughter was a very beautiful girl. In fact, Mr. Truss wrote a letter one time in the Northern News, and he mentioned it, the lovely girl walking among the flowers. I remember reading that. Now, Max, the brother, he's a clerking for the Hudson Bay. And he had a little accident, and he finally enlisted in the First War, and he got killed over there. So the little accident he had was resulted in a young and a baby squaw, which old lady Peachy, and she was a young girl then, must have been quite attractive. And her daughter, I wouldn't want this out before they could, the relations might bring a lawsuit on me, but she is Mrs. Milas Barrard. Now, you must have met them. You know them.
No, I know Milas very well. I'm not sure that I know
her. Mrs. Milas Barrard.
Mm-hmm.
What is her name? Oh, it used to look good. Of course, she has a family now. I think they were living around here for some time. But she's now a woman of 60, I guess, the old lady. But I remember the old lady. Old lady, she, when she was in her 70s, she used to be around here. Yeah. So that was the railway sign. Then, of course, when Max got killed, the old man and Lily went to England. But I asked Max not long ago if the foundation was still there. Yeah, I believe there's some kind of a foundation there. But he never went to examine it. That'd be quite interesting to pass this.
No. That foundation, where, what direction? That would be just about straight north of Frank's
present house. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We'll go and look for it.
Yeah.
Maybe not the spring now, but we'll.
Yeah.
Now, I know there's something that I want to ask you about from way, way back in this conversation. When you started talking about lagoons, were they logging up the river and floating those down?
Yep.
Right.
They were logging on a big berth above Longview.
I don't know where Longview is.
Longview is right at Tomato Creek.
Oh, yeah.
Like, why they call it Longview, after you go by Bald Hill and several bends, you come to a straight piece of river leading north, a little northwest.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 10 miles without a bend.
Mm-hmm.
You could see up the river. And that was Longview. And at the upper end, there was a big berth of timber on both sides of the river. And that's where they logged. Now, on this end of Longview, they had another bunch of timber all over in those days. Jim Wood had a mill. It was the old slab piles there then. We got our slabs to put our roof on that house that I showed you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and what I came to see you about this morning then, Frank, have you photostated that one picture? It's the only one I want back. One of the old sod house, the old log house?
No, I don't think so, but I'm not sure. I'll see Bob Tannis. He photostatted some just the other day, and I'm not sure. I'll ask him and I'll see that you get it back.
Yeah, and there's one document I wanted back. That one about my father, Esperanto, living in the Hudson Bay, you know, living in the Beaver Hills, rather. Yeah.
Yeah, we have that. I was reading it just the other day. In fact, I was showing it to... Yeah,
that was one that Pat Galloway sent me from Saskatchewan because he used to take the pool paper.
Mm-hmm.
I had it mixed up in the pool, I think, or something down there.
Mm-hmm. I don't know whether I photostated that yet. I'll check that and I'll get it back to you.
That's fine.
No, I had a letter from June Heacock the other day.
You did, eh?
Yeah.
Was that not Mrs. Heacock?
No.
No, that was the oldest girl.
No, the youngest.
The youngest girl, that's right.
The oldest was Muriel.
Muriel, that's right.
I got a letter from me years ago when I was in the lodge from Mrs. Heacock when I was collecting photos.
Yeah, yeah.
And Ebrock and I were collecting together, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote to her, he was dead.
Yeah.
And I got hold of her address. And she sent me a picture of him, and that's the one you get up in the lodge now.
Mm-hmm. Well, he lives in Kelowna.
Oh.
Her name is Brown. And so I wrote back to her, and I'm expecting to hear from her again, hopefully. The Heacock family left in 1930.
Right.
Yeah.
And I dug up a note from the old Echo where they had a big farewell party for Mrs.
Mm-hmm.
Heacock, and I duplicated it and sent it to June. Can you remember, because she was a little hazy about this, Was Hecock ever a member of the Mounted Police when he was living in Athabasca?
Right, he was.
He was a member of the Mounted Police.
And then the provincial.
I'm talking, yes, I know he was a member of the provincial, but did the Mounties take over before he left Athabasca or afterwards?
Well, first of all, there was the Northwest Mounted Police here.
That's
and
right.
Then they changed to the Alberta Provincial Police.
Yes.
And then in the 30s sometime, they went back to the, wasn't it in the 30s, they went back to the Mounted Police?
So
or was it
all
later?
The time he was here, he was probably an Alberta Provincial Police.
Yeah, he was.
Because the Mounties supplied the town with a list of the people. Mm-hmm. They didn't put Hecock on. Mm-hmm. And therefore, I think he was not a Mountie when he was here. He was
He was a Royal Northwest when he was here, wasn't he, Leo?
No, he was an Alberta Provincial. Ooh.
Well, it was Royal Northwest Mounted Police to start with. And the Alberta Provincial Police worked in the towns and the cities, but he worked out in the country. And
oh,
I think the Royal Northwest were out in the country.
That might be. It might be.
I think that might take a little.
Now,
needs a little research.
Yes,
in
it does. We can get that from the RCMP archives, which are
the head of the RCMP that attached when we came was Mac Donnell.
We have a picture of him.
Mm-hmm.
Mac Donnell, yeah, I'm quite sure. I'm quite sure that we have a picture of Mac Donnell here. We have a lot of stuff if we ever get around to using it. No, I think Mac Donnell is in that picture.
Oh. Those are all the old timers, are they?
That could be the first curling rink. I don't know.
No, I don't recognize any of that bike.
Well, my father's in there.
Hmm?
My father's in there.
He is, eh?
And so is Alec McLeod.
Oh.
And the curling rink used to be down along the creek.
Where they're going to put a new shopping center.
Well, it was further down than that. It was where we had the old swimming hole.
Well, yeah, we did have a little bit of a swimming hole, but it was down on that big flat.
Right.
Now, there's another thing that's bothering me. Maybe one of you can help me. But we had a gas well down at the riverbank. Gas was piped into town.
Yep.
And gas was used for streetlights.
Yep.
Yes.
And gas was used for lighting. I don't think it was ever used for heating.
No.
No, I don't.
My father's old hardware store was lighted with gas.
And
do you know where that first gas bill was?
Anglican Church.
Yes.
Right down there by Partridge.
That first gas well?
Right.
You know, we call it Partridge, but it's Freddie Martin's.
Where Fred Martin is.
And there was a gas well there. There's also a gas well down by the bridge.
Yeah,
there were two down there by the bridge. There was one just north of where Hitz has lived. That would be just north of the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And then about a mile farther down near where Yucatels lived. There was Maggie Brown and Goodwin's and Yucatels lived way down there.
Yeah.
Around the bend of the river. And there was another gas well down there.
I didn't know about that.
There were the two of them there.
In fact, I only knew one, so now I know about
and
three.
I know that the one by Hitz is just north of Hitz's. We lived there, at this end of the bridge in the old Bissell house, where Bissell's lived later.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was, if we didn't, we kept this gas well burning all the time. If we didn't, the water had a gassy taste to it. The well was right between our house and this gas well. It was over at Hitz's. And we always got this gassy taste in the water if we didn't keep that gas well burning.
You can still light that gas well?
Yes, it'll still light.
Because, yeah,
oh, yes.
Well,
still
the last time
coming.
I was down there, you'd light it. There's enough, there's a very little flame, but there is some.
We used to get a flame about so.
That's right. And the question I want to ask is, what happened to it? Why did suddenly my father's store wasn't lighted with gas anymore? Why? Did the company go out of business, or did they tear up the lines, or what happened?
I don't know what happened either.
Or...
Well, that wasn't a big enough field, possibly.
Did
it seemed to me that about, it was in the, about the time we came up here, about 25 or so, they began getting electricity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they figured it was cheaper, and they needed such a, amount of gas that they were getting was no longer adequate for the number of lights and that they required.
The first big well we had was in the Temple place.
Mm-hmm. That's but that didn't come in until the 40s.
Yeah. That was in 1947 or 48, yeah, around there.
But the, and after they used the gas for a while, they used to get these tanks of gas.
Well, I see. And so they were running short of gas.
There wasn't hardly enough float.
That's probably what happened, right? Yes, that the electricity.
I don't suppose anybody's interested in a cup of tea.
We'll be in a minute.
Now, one thing I wanted to mention to you, I saw a piece in the Echo, and they tore the Harry Bayless's house down.
Mm-hmm.
They said, "We don't know who built it, but we believe Harry possibly could."
No,
he didn't.
Oh, my God, no. I found Larry Dent claims that he believes that Jim Sear built it. Jim Sear lived there.
Okay, who is Jim Sear? I've heard the name.
Jim Sear was in the dray business one time.
Yes.
French families, quite a popular man. Yes. Nice people they were.
Well, now, it seems to me that Yucatels lived in that house at one time. Either Yucatels or Meadowcrofts. But I think it was Yucatels.
Meadowcrofts lived in the old Echo building.
Mm-hmm.
And when they left the Echo building, they moved out to the farm.
Well, I seem to remember Yucatels living in that Bayless house at one time, because I see some of the Yucatel children were about my age, and I used to play with them. Mm-hmm. And I'm quite sure I can remember that. One person that I want to get in here and sit down and talk to is Joe Yucatel.
I was going to say, well, if you could get a hold of Joe, I guess he's not too active anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he's the only one left out there commonly.
Yes, I think
of the old family,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are a lot of people who have stories they want to tell.
I know.
Yes.
They want to write. Now, Hazel Mims, she could write quite a old Hazel.
Mm-hmm.
An interesting story here.
Oh, yes, and she has a lot of documentation, too. We need so darn much help here.
Right.
And, you know, just sitting around talking like the three of us have been doing today, there's so much information comes in.
But then you've got to tabulate it all and sort it out and everything else.
No, it's not connected, but it gets connected.
Yeah.
Sooner or later it gets connected.
It's got to be drafted into a story form.
Eventually,
yes.
Sure. Right now we're not paying much attention to that. We're just collecting the information, but eventually somebody's going to write.
Yeah.
At least one book, maybe two, if anybody ever has enough time. But it's amazing how this information...
The trouble is, a lot of people are dying every day.
I know.
That could write interesting stories.
One person that could really have written a book, well, we've got a lot of information, was old Sid Mirren.
Who?
Sid Mirren.
Oh, yeah, he could have.
And
no, I never heard of that name.
Well, he was my brother-in-law.
Yeah.
Sid Mirren.
Mirren. And I was just telling Leo after you went up into the other room that when they built that wooden railroad on Grand Island, Sid Mirren's brother Joe was one of the originators of that wooden railroad.
You know, there's a picture of it over there.
That's what I saw. I noticed it there. And, they were here in the early days. They came in 1904. They came down here from Jasper. Came down on a raft in the river from Jasper.
Yeah.
And they, Mirror Landing was named after the Mirrens. You see, it was a French name. It was known as Miro Landing at the time.
Oh, is that right?
It was a French name.
And how did you spell it?
M-E-A-R-O-N.
M-E-A-R-O-N.
And they came from Jasper in 1904. They came all the way down to Mirror Landing, and they had their horses and their all their farm machinery that they had, their plows and their discs and their buggies and wagons and all their household effects and everything on this raft. And they came all the way from Jasper. And then they went from there to High Prairie. And then they came back to, and they lived up there where we used to live. Well, we lived on their place for years before we bought it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm afraid I'll have to leave you now because it's, I promised the wife I'd get up home by 3.
Well, you're invited for tea if you want to.